702.
Weekend Breakfast with Rifilwe Mbaganyane.
Live, online,
smartphones,
DSTV channel 856,
92.7 and 106 FM.
It's 6:40 on the Saturday edition of Weekend Breakfast. We're taking your calls on 011-883-0702. Calls related to long COVID. Have you suffered from COVID-19 and just not feeling like not feeling as though you've gone back, you know, to your usual state? For some reason, there's just there's something that's not quite right. It might be symptoms like foggy brain. It might be fatigue. It might be still that shortness of breath or that coughing. We're talking long COVID, and of course, the data, the scientific sort of knowledge, medical knowledge around that. And I guess the various treatments, interventions, or understanding around long COVID at this point, as we are, a year and a half, more than a year and a half into this COVID-19 journey globally, and still learning, right? This novel virus really, really, in a short while, upending our lives and changing so much about what we know and understand viruses of this kind. Of course, helping us have this conversation is our resident GP, Dr. Fundile Nyathi. He is, of course, also the CEO of Proactive Health Solutions. And he's standing by, taking your calls on 011-883-0702, answering your questions about COVID and long COVID. And let's have this conversation. Very, very important. Dr. Fundile Nyathi, good morning. A pleasure as always.
Good morning, Rifilwe, and good morning to your listeners.
Dr. Nyathi, a few months into our COVID journey last year, reports started trickling in about COVID sufferers who no longer tested negative for the virus but were still suffering from symptoms, either of COVID or just were not feeling great. They hadn't fully recovered still, and it wasn't understood for a while that, my goodness, what this virus does to your body can have long-term repercussions and ramifications. Where are we now in terms of our understanding of the long-term health consequences of COVID-19?
Thank you for that question. You know, if I remember very well, you were the first person to actually send through a message to your producer that, you know, there is this thing called long COVID.
Mm.
Can we talk about it? Because it's emerging as an issue. And I had not even picked it up at the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, we did discuss it then. That was around maybe June, July last year.
Yeah.
You know, and many people were still even doubting whether this is actually something to be worried about, or it's just, you know, people who were attention seeking.
Sure.
But anyway,
yeah.
Now, about a week ago, you know, the guys from Wuhan, where this whole thing started, the researchers from there have just released findings of people that have been or had recovered from COVID 1 year on.
Mm, mm.
That is from January to May last year. They've been following then these people who were discharged, who were sick during that period. And they are the first people to describe what happens a year later. And the findings are quite interesting. It's telling us that many people, you know, who have recovered, you know, in inverted commas from COVID, continued to experience symptoms or even complications relating to COVID. And a certain percentage of those people a year later are still not functional. In fact, others have even lost their jobs because they could not function.
Yeah.
So that is a worry, because we all thought, okay, somebody has recovered, well and good, but actually what we now know that the recovery is not really recovery, because there are these ongoing issues that may actually be debilitating and affect your quality of life and even your ability to earn an income.
Yeah, that is incredibly worrying, Dr. Nyati. The idea that not only is quality of life compromised, but you know, your ability to earn an actual living. So it means it has so many trickle down effects, right? Employers in the workplace, managers, bosses. What should you be looking out for and expecting from employees and colleagues? They've been sick, and you think, well, it's been 14 days now. You're testing negative. Come through to the workplace. That's not necessarily going to be feasible or viable for so many people. Now, this study in Wuhan was also a sort of interview based in a series of questionnaires evaluating symptoms, health-related quality of life, also physical examinations, including a six-minute walking test and blood tests. The outcomes of those, or what did they tend to find when you say that people's quality of life was compromised? What does that mean?
Well, they looked at a number of issues like you just mentioned now, and these in-depth health assessments or evaluations, we're looking at both physical health side of things and also looking at the mental health, behavioral side of things. And what they've really found is that from a physical health point of view, maybe let me start by mentioning that the common complaints in general with people with this COVID syndrome or post-COVID syndrome is muscle pain and weakness,
okay,
fatigue, impaired sleep quality, limb weakness, restlessness, short-term memory loss, and the brain fog or slowed thinking. Those are just some of the common symptoms. Now, what they had found then is that as far as the issue of fatigue and, muscle weakness, that was the most common complaint. Still, 12 months later, the people, about a third of the people, were still unable, to have physical tolerance, to be able to walk that six-minute walk, they showed a lot of fatigue and muscle weakness. And this was more amongst females than it was, with the males. So the issue of shortness of breath and lung impairment, especially amongst those who had severe illness and had to be in ICU and got ventilated. So those are some of the things that are coming through. Also, on the mental health side, they found that actually when they compared what they saw at 6 months with what they saw at 12 months, mm-hmm. There was an increase in mental health related problems. Yeah, I'm talking anxiety disorders, depression, even PTSD, which was a surprise finding, because they had thought that things would improve, but actually things went worse, and they're still trying to understand what could be the driver of that.
Mm.
Could it be the loneliness and the isolation that people are having because of the impairments? Could it be the realization that some of the physical health challenges have now changed their lives forever, so it's secondary
yes.
to the physical problems? What could be the reason?
Sure.
Another thing that they also found is that comparing 6 months to 12 months, those who had bad health results in 6 months, those did not improve at 12 months.
Mm.
Which just shows that, the scarring that happened in the lungs, actually did not get better 6 months later. And likely then that those people, some of them may continue to have challenges for years to come, resulting in possible occupational disability for, some of those people.
Sure.
Yes.
So, Dr. Nyati, let's take a call right now from Herbert in Indonesia. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Herbert. You say you still have COVID symptoms. Tell us about it, please.
Oh, yes,
good morning.
Morning. How are you, ma'am?
Very well, thank you.
Okay.
Tell us about your journey with COVID, please, Herbert.
I was tested positive in July.
Mm.
I think first week. Then I stayed at home for 3 weeks. I was thinking myself.
Yeah.
Then I went back to work again. Then again on August, I felt I was very sick. Then I was admitted at Barra Hospital. So I slept there for a week. Yeah. Then I came back. It was something else. I say I had a light stroke when they checked me there. So now, but even now, I still, because they tested me now, they didn't tell me what I was negative this time. Then last week again, I was admitted at Glenelg South Clinic, struggling to breathe and walk and all those things. They tested me, but also they didn't give me their results. So I'm still struggling, but I don't go to work every, like before I used to go like every day.
Yeah.
In a week, maybe I get sick on the way to work. I can't breathe and all that headache, continuous headaches all the time.
Yeah. Sure, Herbert. And, you know, do you have someone that you can rely on, someone to help look after you at home? What is your relationship like with either your colleagues, or I'm not sure if you're employed or self-employed, but, you know, what's your relationship like with your employers, if that's the case? Do they understand?
My employer, last week when I came back from, actually when I got sick last week, when I was admitted to the hospital, he phoned my wife and asked now, how is it going to continue with me now, like getting sick and all that? Then he called me also and asked me the same question, how is it going to, because he also, you need to make money. So it was like that, you also need to make money. And he understand that, but you must make money.
Yeah.
So I told him, no, you know what, you can get another drive and all that. But at the moment, I'm still working. I don't know how it's gonna, you know, continue like that. Yeah. That question still sticks on my mind.
Yeah, Dr. Nyati, any questions for Herbert?
No, I think with Herbert, it is very clear. And just, clarity for people. Now, you know, how we define this thing of long COVID is that if you've got persistent symptoms or long-term complications of this infection beyond 4 weeks from the onset of your symptoms. So from what he's telling us, it's definitely a situation where the 4 weeks has passed since he first had symptoms, and he's continuing to have problems, and he's even talking about a light stroke that he had, and the fact that he's just physically not feeling strong. So he definitely, you know, is somebody with a post-COVID syndrome. And I think what's more important is the fact that he is even telling us that, look, I am unable to return to work.
Yeah.
I go to work today, tomorrow, I'm not guaranteed I'm going to be at work. And now it's starting to create problems for him in terms of job security.
Exactly.
And this is what I think we need to worry more about as a country, you know, that there are going to be these people who recovered from COVID but who are no longer economically productive. Yeah. And the question then is, for the employers, what is expected of them? You know, do they just, lay off those employees, dismiss them? Or, you know, are there expectations from a legal point of view? You know, and I think here this is a situation where employers need to do what is right in terms of the law. That is to understand, you know, what the problem is, that is from the treating doctors, and reasonably accommodate these people, you know, before they think of dismissing them. Otherwise, it can be seen to be an unfair labor practice to just dismiss them. You know, it is now known that up to about a year, people may not be able to recover, you know, sufficiently to go back to work. But some may, but not be able to fully do what they were expected to do. So I think employers here are going to need to, you know, get to understand and be guided around issues of reasonable accommodation of these people and have a bit of empathy, you know, about these people before they think of dismissing them. Because he's telling us now that he says, no, but I need to make money.
Sure.
My business, I need to make money. But at the same time, the employee did not invite this disease to himself.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it's a complicated...
You must vaccinate.
It's a complicated one, Dr. Nyati, because of course we know that so many people are working in the informal economy as well, right? So yeah, the implications of that are, you know, if you're self-employed, or if, you know, you have no office or company to report to, the possible long-term impacts for you could be that you're unable to feed yourself and your family and not even have the benefits of formal employment and recourse. Exactly. In terms of labor law. So a lot to think about in the South African context. What do you think in terms of COVID, or what do we understand about what is happening there on a sort of vascular or muscular level when, you know, Herbert has had COVID and then has that light stroke? What's happening there? Do we know at this point?
Yes, we know. I mean, there's about five things that are driving this COVID syndrome. The first one is the ability of that virus to actually attack the tissues directly. We call it viral toxicity. But the other related matter is that, you know, we now know that this disease is more of an endothelial, you know, kind of disease. That is, the linings of the blood vessels are damaged.
Mm.
And this is not just in the lungs, but across the body. There is that overreaction of the immune system that is called the cytokine storm that also causes damage in the tissues across the body. There is also the increased clotting within the blood vessels, which is also causing blood supply to certain critical parts of the body, the brain, the kidneys, and other parts of the body. You know, so the combination of these things are the reason why then one would have a stroke in the brain. You know, they would have a stroke because blood supply was stopped. Okay. Or somebody's got acute kidney failure and long-term damage to the kidneys because the capillaries there were damaged. So in his case, it sounds like, you know, it's somebody who definitely had some challenges with the, you know, the immune system that got, you know, to react in a way that it caused more damage, what we call autoimmune system as well.
Sure.
And also the clotting problem.
All right. Let's take a call from Elizabeth in Alberton. Thank you so much for calling in, Elizabeth. Your experience with COVID. Good morning.
Yeah, it's my daughter-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
She was 56. My son picked up the COVID at work. Okay, he was okay. He's okay now. But then she got so sick. At first, she got something like the fits. I don't know what it's called. And she got very sick. They rushed her to hospital.
Mm.
She kept her there for 3 days. She was discharged. She had to go back with the same symptoms back to hospital. Eventually, she said she had COVID. But then she never recovered, because then they said she got lupus. She had septicemia. She had, oh my goodness, so many sickness.
Yeah.
And eventually she went into a coma. She was in, then she's in ICU, then she's out, then she's in ICU, then she's out. And eventually she passed away last week.
Oh, our condolences, Elizabeth. To yourself and your son and your whole family. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us. And I hope you guys are on your way to dealing and recovering as a family. It can't be easy, Dr. Nyati, this disease that we know so little about, at least this virus that we definitely knew so little about last year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what she just mentioned now about the daughter, you know, the daughter-in-law, is actually something that has been picked up as well. You know, I mentioned that, you know, women are much more prone to post-COVID syndrome than males. And there are two reasons. One is the fact that there's this inbuilt mechanisms that you guys have to help you protect, you know, in the event that you are pregnant, to protect your unborn baby.
Mm.
So that's one, which makes you to have a very robust reaction to, you know, infections. But the second part of it is the autoimmune disease, where your own body's immune system attacks your normal cells. You see, now she's talking about SLE, which is an autoimmune disease, that is lupus. And other, you know, kind of diseases like that. So that's another problem that we're picking up, that people with post-COVID syndrome, the driver is actually autoimmune diseases that were activated you know, by the disease itself.
Yeah. Dr. Nyathi, we've got 30 seconds, but in terms of vaccination, those that are hesitant about the jab, one message coming through here saying, I've got bad post-COVID headaches, chronic fatigue, body pains, and I'm diabetic. Just want to know more or less how long this will continue. I'm even scared to get the vaccine. What if the condition gets worse? This is from Rochelle, who's worried.
Well, we don't know how long, like this study in Wuhan has just shown that other people beyond a year still have problems. So it's the thing of saying how long is a piece of string.
Sure.
But in terms of vaccination, I think people should seriously consider taking vaccines, because then at least if you do get infected with what we call breakthrough infections, you may not have a severe disease that would actually predispose you to having long COVID.
And we'll leave it there with Dr. Fundile Nyathi, CEO of Proactive Health.